In these podcasts, I will be talking with people who share their stories of tragedy and hope. I will be exploring mental health and well-being with workplace professionals, and also with folk who have struggled to make sense of their own lives. My hope is that these shared experiences will remove the loneliness from those people who are convinced it is their fate to suffer alone. I'm Dave Thomas, and I've been a serving police officer for over 20 years. You're very welcome to join me on Walk the Talk. In my recent series of four podcasts, I looked at adverse childhood experiences, and Jackie Morton explained how, with work, we can strip away our masks and get to our true self. Some of my guests really have been to hell and back, and some of them have been to jail along the way. They all shared a common addiction of alcohol, drugs, and often both, either to help them find their feelings or to lose them. Now, adverse childhood experiences needn't be as severe as my guests have described, nor do you need to lose everything or go to jail. Those experiences may be as simple as bullying at school, for example. What is important is the adverse effect it has on the child. It can affect our perception of how we see the world and our perception of what we think others think of us. Emotional growth is stunted, and although we eventually grow into adults, our emotional maturity is that of a child. I said at the end of those podcasts I would share my own adverse childhood experiences. It has taken me years to come to terms with myself, forcing myself to look me straight in the eye. Your eyes choose what they want to see, much harder to accept what they show you. Now, I haven't been abused physically or sexually. I didn't fall onto the wrong side of the tracks at school, and I didn't come to the attention of the authorities. Quite simply, I had an unhappy childhood. Nothing more than that, but it was to shape my life. My story began in the southern suburbs of Manchester. My father came from a strict Welsh Baptist upbringing, where his mother was the matriarch of the family. My mother came from a working-class family in Salford. My father was a physically weak man. His twin sister died from polio when they were infants, and he later contracted tuberculosis and pleurisy whilst working abroad in what is now Zimbabwe. I remember receiving inoculations long before anybody else got them at school. It was clear to me early on that my mum and dad were not happy. I can't remember going on holiday with them together. I went with my dad to Wales or with my mum to Scarborough. Most of the time, though, she went on holiday with her friends, often going abroad. I won't bore you with the tedium of the detail, but I was often used by both of them as a weapon to throw hurt at each other. My father at some point became very bad with his nerves, to the point where if he was watching the telly, I was made to remain completely silent, and if I didn't, he would explode in rage. If I accidentally banged into something or made a sudden noise, he would explode. The few friends I had would not come round to the house. I learnt to survive with my peers by being the joker. However, my primary school friends would later become my secondary school bullies. At 13 years old, life was pretty miserable. One day out of the blue, my mother sat down on my bed. I think I'd probably gone upstairs after another row. She told me that she was leaving. That was it. She was gone. She gave up a share of the house, and she wasn't taking me with her. A fact my father would remind me of many times later. My mother remarried and lived 32 happy years with her second husband before she died. I got on well with both of them, but I always felt I suffered two bereavements, the day she left and the day she died. My dad died 8 years after my mum left. he died alone to my eternal regret, and I vow that that would never happen to my mother. It was a promise I kept. So that, in a few short moments, was my childhood. It has taken nearly 40 years to understand that experience and to try and understand myself. Eckhart Tolle wrote a bestseller in the 1990s called The Power of Now. It covers mindfulness and draws on spiritual philosophies from the East. On the point of his own suicide, he said, "I cannot live with myself." It intrigued him and asked, "Who is the I and who is myself?" It is an important question to those unpicking adverse childhood experiences. Doing the podcast with ex-offenders in recovery and Jackie Moulton, who continues her remarkable work, enabled me to put labels on the behaviours I knew I had and the thought processes I use. What was a huge relief to me was to know that how you respond to events is not unique, and which is why in these podcasts I try to share other people's lived experiences. My own experience made me feel lonely, oversensitive, having no worth, paranoid, introverted, and insecure. I was prone to escapism and was happy in my own company. I became disassociated. I was also consumed with anxiety and worry on a daily basis. I later discovered I was suffering from what is called clinical anxiety, which meant I would obsess over my own health, thinking I was going to die, always going to the doctor. I was able to cope by losing myself in the music and films of the 1980s, imagining I was a part of them. I also spent every night out of the house. In hindsight, I wanted to become part of my friend's family, and in fact, I had been doing that for years. I also discovered a pedal cycle, which was my route to freedom, being able to leave the house and put distance between it and me, an unhappy place. It was extremely liberating. I also became very fit very quickly. These coping mechanisms, however, came with a price. I became selfish and grandiose. No foundation for life, no idea how to proceed, and hurt and angry over a childhood taken from me. I probably stopped growing emotionally in my teenage years. A lot of people say they felt they were never given a rule book for life, and I have had to relearn, and it's been a steep learning curve over those years. One of the other ways I coped was to be the best at everything. I suppose I needed to prove that I was not the worthless human being I was brought up to believe. I came top of the school in my O-level physics exam, but gutted that I'd missed out on the top grade by 2 marks. That was my mindset. I was parachuting by the age of 16, flying a plane by the age of 21. I built a house, and I became a successful professional photographer working overseas. In that respect, I was fearless. I then became a police officer, and with it, all the trauma and human suffering you can't avoid to ignore. And in that respect, I found an empathy for the underdog, and seeing the suffering in others helped me to understand my own. Now, I'm not an expert in well-being, but I have had a lifetime of experience trying to practice it, and I've learnt many things. What Jackie Moulton unlocked for me was articulating what I knew, but unable to put it into sentences. I've learnt to be gentle with myself, but disciplined. I've learnt to make allowance for others, because if I don't, there can be no allowance for me. And I've built up a resilience I never thought I would be strong enough to possess. I'll always be that teenage boy, seeing people and situations through my conditioned mind, taking the default position that everybody is out to hurt me. But I have overcome that by applying intellect to my reasoning, and not letting myself be ruled by flawed emotions. They say that 90% of life is reacting to the remaining 10%. I have got over feeling sorry for myself, and that was an important step to self-improvement. I am also learning to lose the guilt. It really wasn't my fault I had an unhappy childhood, so I have stopped beating myself up about it. I was being selfish and looking inward, always about me, which is not healthy when you are trying to foster relationships with others. Once you understand why you do things a certain way, you can stop doing them. It's no longer all about me. The biggest hurdle to get over, and the hardest one to see, was that I was hanging on to my trauma. I was refusing to let it go, because that's all I'd ever known. Maybe I was frightened if I were to let it go, would I have anything else to fill the void? Change is about being prepared to let yourself die at any given moment in order to be the person you always should have been.